I mentioned earlier how the things we talk about on a Sunday, I end up talking about them when we focus on a subject. And I was thinking how in the office in particular, we've been chatting about worship. Sally, come on up. And it's just so good having these conversations. And I love talking with Sally about it because she's got this passion for worship, a real heart for worship. She heads up our worship team here at Welton. And it's just so good that today Sally's going to be sharing with us. I'm really looking forward to what she's got to share. So I encourage you, kind of listen up, get ready for listening to Sally, because it's going to be good this morning. Can I pray with you, Sal?
Yeah, so, please do.
Yeah, Lord, we just thank you that you love us so much. You want to speak to us, and we're your family. And Lord, we pray for this time this morning as Sally shares. Lord, just give her a piece about what she shares, Lord. Let her enjoy what she's sharing. And Lord, I pray that as we listen really well, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit speak to us this morning as we listen to you. Amen. Amen.
Hello. hang on. Let me just do a bit of housekeeping here. Right. Okay, I just want to just to say that I'm really happy to just have this opportunity to share a bit of my heart with you all about worship. I've been on a journey, I guess, myself for a number of years now. And, you know, God's shown me certain things and I've learned things along the way. And it was funny, just last evening, I found something that was dated. And it was around the time when I first started worship leading here at Welton. And it was 8 years ago. And I just couldn't believe that it was 8 years ago. It still feels like a really new thing for me. I guess it's because I'm still learning so much. You have to excuse my voice. I've had a cold. It's very croaky. And so I'll just croak my way through it, if that's okay. Just a disclaimer, though, I'd like to say before anything, is that I definitely have not got this whole intimacy and worship thing completely sewn up. If you have, put your hand up and we'll come and get some wisdom from you. But, you know, I'm still very much on a journey, as I said, and just still learning loads of stuff about what it is to worship well. And so anyway, this series has been planned for quite a long time. It was way back last year sometime, I think, when Howell suggested that we do something along these lines. So I knew it was coming up, so that's given me quite a lot of time to kind of think about what I would want to say. I've been praying about it, and I do believe God has spoken to me. And I think some of that is for me personally, but some of that is things that I will be sharing this morning with you. And, you know, we probably have our own ideas about what intimacy with God looks like, particularly in terms of worship. But I thought to help us kind of navigate this morning, I was going to consider three kind of things for us to look at. And that is, what's the relationship between intimacy and worship? How do we experience intimacy as we worship? And then I'm going to kind of be looking at intimacy and corporate worship. And so before I kind of jump into that, I'd just like to read a passage of scripture, and it's from Luke 7. And you might not be surprised to learn that it's the story of the woman with the alabaster jar. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 5 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not pour oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." I found it really interesting when I was kind of researching this and reading this passage of scripture and reading it in different translations as well. And just seeing the different titles that was being given to this story. Here, if you've got the NIV, it will say Jesus anointed by a sinful woman. And traditionally, this woman, I think, has been thought to be a prostitute. But actually, there isn't anything in the text that would necessarily suggest that she was a prostitute. We only learn that she was considered sinful. And of course, that could have meant a number of things. The New King James Version has a similar title, Sinful Woman Forgiven. And the Contemporary English Version has Simon the Pharisee. And the Message has what I thought was quite surprising, anointing his feet. And then the Passion Translation has extravagant worship. Now, when I read this story, I always tend to see it as a picture of how kind of intimacy and worship are very much intertwined, a bit like two sides of a coin. But hang on a minute, what am I saying? How can this kind of be the best picture of worship? You know, where is the band? Where are the singers? Where are the words on a screen? And there's not even a red Nord keyboard, you know, so it's kind of really messing with my head in a way. But of course, you know, I'm kind of kidding. But I know that sometimes I can get so wrapped up in the songs and the music that I can lose sight of perhaps the true essence of worship. When the music fades and all is stripped away and I simply come, I was really grateful that the band included that song this morning, because that's one that I love to sing. It was written by Matt Redman, and I find it a great kind of recentering song, I think. And I can really understand the circumstances that led for Matt Redman to kind of write this song as he did, because I think he was trying to navigate his way through this sort of worship industry that was beginning to take shape back in 1999 when he wrote this song. And worship has unfortunately become a bit of a money-making machine, I think, for some churches, especially in the States. And I often think it must be so difficult for all those kind of that are involved in that sort of worship to really keep their heart and their egos pure when you're kind of operating in that kind of environment. And it's definitely not a place I would want to be in. And I know I might seem to be digressing, but for me, it's kind of a real area of concern. And as Matt touched upon last week, we really need to guard ourselves against becoming a consumer of worship rather than a worshiper. And so going back to this story, the woman, she may well have been described as sinful, But in my opinion, she got so much right. You know, she came to Jesus with this simple devotion. And if she was any good at reading the room, she would have sensed that her presence was probably not really very welcome. But undeterred and without uttering a single word, she literally poured her love out upon Jesus. I find her encounter with Jesus a really moving one, but also very challenging. So let's think about intimacy and worship. Ultimately, intimacy is about relationship. It's this sort of two-way connection that we have with Jesus. It's about Jesus loving us and then us responding and giving that love back in return. It's kind of bigger than that, but for me, that's the essence. In 1 John 4:19, we read, "We love because he first loved us." Love is an intrinsic aspect of worship and intimacy. Now, intimacy isn't necessarily something that happens during a certain kind of worship style, a song, or perhaps a moving piece of music, beautiful artwork, a beautiful sunset. Of course, intimacy with God can happen through these moments. Of course they can. But these moments are not necessarily the source of intimacy. Intimacy is a posture, and it's an attitude that is formed within our relationship. Now, we were created to live in close proximity to God. We see this from the creation account. And even when things went horribly wrong, God continued to invite people to draw close, and he continues to do that. Intimacy is the place where we get to live. I just want to repeat that. Intimacy is the place where we get to live. And that really excites me. I think it's a tremendous privilege to live in that place of intimacy with God. But of course, as with anything that's worth having, it doesn't come easily. It requires our time, our love. It requires our persistence. We don't need to make it complicated necessarily. But like this woman, we just come and we enjoy being in the presence of Jesus. And that might look different for all of us. You know, we all have our different ways of connecting with Jesus. But what's important is that in those moments, we allow intimacy to grow. Intimacy with God is something that we have to form ourselves. No one can do it for us. We may not necessarily always feel something or have this kind of amazing spiritual experience, but we come as an act of obedience, trusting that one day we will see the fruit of those moments that we're spending with Jesus. Now, I wonder, do you know that God loves you? Now, I'm not just talking about, well, yes, of course, you know, the Bible tells me, so I know that God loves me. I'm talking about, have you experienced God's love? Do you know his love for yourself? Has it changed you in some way? Now, for me, love is not a passive thing. It's an active thing. And I think love needs to be felt. If God is love, then we should be feeling that love, living and breathing inside of us. It should be making a difference. Knowing God loved me was a real pivotal point in my relationship with him and in pursuing intimacy through worship. So let's just think about some of the ways that we can experience intimacy with God through our worship. And as I said, if we went around this room now, we'd probably all say something a little bit different because all of our experiences are different. You know, there's not a one size fits all with God ever. He always treats us differently. But if it's okay, I'd like to share a bit of my own story of how I kind of experienced a new level of intimacy that really changed me, and it set me on a different path. So I became a Christian when I was about 18. fairly standard conversion, nothing sort of extraordinary. I've been coming along to Welton when we were down at the chapel, and I'd heard the gospel preached, you know, maybe 3 or 4 times before I actually responded. And then, you know, a few years into that relationship, you know, it was growing, and I was kind of really wanting to obey Jesus and wanting to serve him. And at that time, I had this sort of growing desire around the area of overseas missions. And Africa was a particular place of interest for me. And so, after a bit of a long story, that led me to do 3 years at Bible College. I did a year language learning in France, and that was where I met Jean-Phi, although he's known as Nigel in our house now. I don't know if you remember when Chris Duffett was here, and he looked over trying to guess what he thought Jean-Phi's name was, and said he looked like a Nigel. But what was so funny was that Phi actually thought he said he looked like an angel. So we've had this ongoing conversation of, no, he said I look like an angel. No, he didn't, Phi. He said you look like a Nigel. Anyway, I'm getting off the track. So after various bits of preparation that I did, I spent some time working in Niger in West Africa amongst a largely unreached people group. And as you can imagine, it was an incredible experience. I went to some fantastic places, met some amazing people, and had, I guess, a really exciting time with Jesus. But somewhere along the way, when I was back home, by then Fee and I were married, we had children, and I kind of realized that I'd lost sight of Jesus somehow, and I think I'd lost sight of myself as well. And I was really struggling to find my place again back at Welton, struggling with being back in Midsummer Norton. And I felt very much on the outside of things. And externally, I guess things would have looked okay, you know? But inside, I knew that I'd lost sight of my first love. And through the years that followed, and there were too many, just too many, I tried to form this kind of deeper connection with Jesus that I wanted, but it was so hard, you know. Life was busy. I was a working mom, by then 3 children. And I'd feel like, you know, I'd take 2 steps forward and 3 steps back, and that just became like a pattern. And after several years of kind of bumbling along like this, I decided enough was enough. And I really had to be serious about my walk with Jesus. I thought I had kind of 2 choices at that point. Either I give up and forget about Jesus, or I really start to be more serious and kind of really press in and seek him. And just rediscover that joy again of knowing him. I knew I'd never be able to kind of turn my back on Jesus. And those words from Peter resonated so much with me. You know, to whom shall I go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. And so my journey of rediscovery began. And I thank God for awesome women in the church, you know, who in God's perfect timing invited me along to kind of various things that they were going to, women's conferences, Holy Spirit conferences. And at that time, Time Out with God, that was a forerunner to Encounter, was just kind of beginning to get off the ground. And so I went along to that, and bit by bit, I started to feel closer to Jesus. And my relationship with him started to feel like it was living again. But I also realized that kind of there were some things that were holding me back. Some things around my thinking and my attitude that was just stopping me from kind of going any further. It felt like I'd get to a certain point and then, you know, I'd kind of put the brakes on. And I think my main sticking point was I'd never really felt God's love. You know, of course, as I said, you know, I had this understanding that God loved me. You know, I was part of his creation. Yeah, of course he loved me. But I'd never actually felt that he loved me, you know, for myself. And that was a barrier for me. And I kind of also had this feeling of just being disappointed with him. And that he's kind of somehow let me down. And if you'd have actually asked me, okay, you know, what is it exactly that you're disappointed about? I don't know if I could have really vocalized it that well. But, you know, there was just something in my heart that made me feel a bit disappointed with God. And so I knew that these things were just a barrier to me. And now, you know, I know I'm kind of probably talking a lot about feelings. And I know that our feelings can't always be trusted. You know, they're subjective, aren't they? And I know that we need to be shaped by the truth, you know. But for me, I can't kind of disconnect my head from my heart. God is interested in the whole of me, you know. So I needed to feel stuff, you know, not just here, but I needed to feel it as well. And it was around this same period, one evening, I went along to time out with God. And that particular week, I'd been struggling because I'd started reading this book and had sort of various chapters on different things. But one of the chapters was about love. And I got a few pages in and I kind of just had to stop reading it because I just couldn't relate to, you know, what I was reading. It just wasn't really real for me. And I felt really frustrated. And, you know, I remember kind of praying and kind of crying out, God, you know, please just show me this love that I'm reading about. You know, I want to know it. I want to feel it. And then this evening at Time Out with God, you know, we were worshiping and, you know, I wasn't really feeling it, got to be honest. But in the middle of that evening, someone came up to me and said, oh, Sally, I feel God's given me a word for you. And so he said, I just feel that Jesus wants you to know that he loves you. That was pretty much all he said. And he prayed with me. And I kind of encountered this power just going through me. You know, I had a real sense of the Holy Spirit. And that word absolutely changed everything for me. You know, a word in season can be really powerful, can't it? You know, thank God for people that listen to God and you know, tell us those things. And, you know, maybe from the outside there wasn't a huge change, but I knew that inside there had been a huge shift. This kind of heaviness that I felt had lifted because I knew that Jesus loved me and that he saw me and that he had new things for me. And the effects of that evening stayed with me for many weeks. And, you know, those feelings of disappointment just dissolved. And Jesus filled my thoughts. He really did. I couldn't stop thinking about him. I found a new love for God's word, spent a lot of time reading, meditating upon it. And often there was a real sense of God's spirit with me. It was just such a beautiful time. But gradually, you know, the intensity of that evening did fade. But I knew my heart was forever changed. So why am I telling you a story? You know, what does it have to do with intimacy and worship? You know, and for me, just having that personal encounter with God's love had such a profound effect upon me, how I lived and how I worshipped. And it really opened up a door to greater intimacy for me. And I continued to live off that experience. You know, that's not something that happens to me every day. It was a huge thing. And I live off of it. And I know that my encounter with God's love just led me into this deeper place with him. And I thank God that that love, that feeling of love has never faded. So let's take a look at intimacy in corporate worship. Now, the blunt truth is, the only way to remain in close proximity to Jesus is by remaining in him. Excuse me. Keeping close and protecting our times with him. You know, in the Bible, the church is portrayed as this bride of Christ. And that's a picture of such intimacy. And a sense of intimacy doesn't just happen. You know, we have to be willing to do battle for it. There'll always be something, someone fighting for our time, our devotion, our attention. But let's fight to keep our times with Jesus above all else. You know, I need to remind myself of this often, as there's always something that's looking for some, you know, a way of distracting me away from Jesus. But let's not leave here this morning having been with Jesus. Maybe, you know, he's spoken to you only to find that by Wednesday, you know, we just haven't thought about him, let alone given him our time. You know, telling ourselves if we can just keep on till Sunday, it'll all be all right. You know, I really believe that all of us, we have a responsibility to keep our connection with Jesus alive and active so that when we come together like this as the body of Christ, you know, our times are full of life, full of the Spirit, so that together, you know, we can live out those words from Colossians. Let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom. Apply the scriptures as you teach and instruct one another with psalms, with festive praises and with prophetic songs given to you spontaneously by the Spirit. So sing to God with all your hearts. Let every activity of your lives and every word that comes from your lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. And bring your constant praise to God the Father because of what Christ has done for you. I think it was Matt H. after his sabbatical who said, you know, when he has spent time with Jesus, we get a much better version of himself than if he hasn't. And, you know, that's true for all of us. You know, this is how the church is built up and encouraged and enables us to be more effective when, you know, we're out doing our everyday activities. And just like this woman in the story, sometimes we need to allow ourselves to be vulnerable before God. You know, she ignored the cultural taboos of the day in order to get close to Jesus. She entered a room full of religious leaders, knowing that all their eyes were on her, and ignoring their scornful glares, she made her way to Jesus. Or maybe she was so focused upon Jesus that she didn't even notice. Either way, I think she was incredibly brave. Perhaps this morning something I've shared has resonated with you and you have become aware of something that perhaps is a barrier between you and Jesus, something that is stopping you from fully trusting him and giving your whole heart to him. Perhaps you're holding an offense against him, you know, an unanswered prayer, a feeling that he's failed you in some way and you just can't get past it. Being free from this lie was just completely liberating for me. In 1 John it says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we keep his commands and do what pleases him." You know, God is greater than our hearts. He can free us from the lies that we so often believe about him, about ourselves. You know, knowing truth will enable our hearts to be at rest in his presence. It's such a great verse. I've loved, you know, reading this verse over and over for a few weeks. Or maybe you just need to know that God loves you because you've really struggled to accept it or believe it. You know, and I know from my own personal experience, you know, what can happen when we encounter God's love for ourselves. So I wonder if you would just stand, and together I want us just to say a prayer. Okay, let's say this together. Search me, Lord. I ask you to gently show me where the affections of my heart lie. Is my heart set on things other than you? Help me set my sights on things above. And may you hold my gaze and adoration more than anything in this temporary world has to offer. Amen.
Let's stay standing for a moment. Just going to give you a chance just to look at those words. Going to ask the band to come back. We're going to sing one more song of worship and an appropriate fitting song that's a really we can use as a prayer. But just take a look at those words, and maybe just between you and the Lord, you've had a chance to hear them now. Maybe you just want to take a moment just in this quiet, just as the band begin, just to make those words, pick out a part that is for you this morning. My sense, as Sally's been talking, just to say, I really sense the Holy Spirit beginning to dismantle barriers between us and the Lord. I think he's doing it already. And so I just pray, Holy Spirit, would you come now? And just in these last few moments, any of those barriers, whether it is the knowing the truth that we're loved by you, just that word disappointment for one or two people here this morning. Sally used the word offense, just there's something there. Any barriers, I pray, Holy Spirit, we pray that conviction that we've seen from your word, as Sally spoken this morning, would you stir it up in us that would say, I'm not going to leave here, Lord, until those barriers have begun to be dismantled. So just before we sing, just take a moment. Just pray your own prayer to the Lord around you as a worshiper, that place of intimacy that God has called you to.